The Wall Street Waiting Game.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Investors are waiting for a lot of new data today. The Federal Reserve's Beige Book will be released, basically a compilation of current economic conditions from Fed banks throughout the country. Automakers are going to report August sales numbers. The expectation is most of the major car companies will post declining sales. New retail numbers are also coming out. And we'll get the latest snapshot of the manufacturing sector in a couple hours. The government is set to report on July factory orders for non-durable goods. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Non-durable goods are things like clothing, food, and gas. Stuart Hoffman is chief economist for PNC Financial Services Group. He thinks orders to factories producing these products were up in July by more than 1%. But Hoffman says, remember, that number measures orders in terms of dollars, not, say, how many gallons of gas were ordered from a refiner, but how much it was worth.
Part of the increase in the number simply reflects higher prices of these goods.
By contrast, orders for non-durable goods in August are expected to be down because gas prices fell, but also because consumer demand isn't so hot. Brian Bethune is chief U.S. economist at Global Insight. He says most spending from the economic stimulus checks has fizzled out.
We're not going to get a big boost from the rebate checks for the remaining months of 2008.
Of course, that includes the all-important holiday shopping season, just around the corner. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We'll soon see how that report and the others play out on Wall Street. Yesterday's rally on lower oil prices fizzled by the close. The Dow lost 26 points, or a quarter of a percent, to 11,516. The Nasdaq dropped 18 to 2349. The S&P 500 gave up 5 points to 1277. European shares are down this morning. Asian stocks were mostly lower. But there is word of a big new drink deal today in China.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company.
Coca-Cola is offering $2.5 billion for Chinese juice maker Huiyuan. This would be Coke's second largest acquisition ever and China's biggest takeover by a foreign company. California has just passed an innovative anti-sprawl policy. For the first time, state and federal transportation funds will be doled out based on how well regional authorities are curbing car use in their area. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
The bill would turn California's planning process on its head. Currently, developers bring their ideas for new construction to regional authorities for approval. The bill envisions city and county planners will create regional growth plans and shop them to developers with fast-track approval. Ed Manning is a lobbyist for major California builders.
The direct economic benefit is trying to lessen the time it takes a project to get permitted and reviewed.
Meanwhile, cities that encourage infill and growth near public transit will be rewarded in transportation funding. David Goldberg is with Smart Growth America.
It's a way to ensure that future economic growth can actually happen because the existing model, the car-dependent model, is starting to unravel.
Goldberg says other states, including Washington, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, are considering a similar approach to stop sprawl. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's no surprise corporate America made sure to have representatives at this week's Republican National Convention and last week's DNC. What surprises commentator Robert Reich, though, is the sometimes contradictory roles those reps have.
At the Democratic convention last week, I kept bumping into two different kinds of corporate professionals. Most have headed over to the Republican convention this week. One type says its job is public affairs, the other government affairs. They sound similar, but the jobs are quite different. The public affairs types are at the conventions to bring attention to their company's commitments to social responsibility. Many of them have handouts and fancy brochures touting all the good things their firms do. The government affairs types are at the conventions to build their company's political influence. They're the ones in the skyboxes with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. The two types often work for the same big companies, but they seem to operate at cross purposes. For example, I met a public affairs person who talked about the great strides his company was making in green technologies. But the government affairs people from the same company have been actively lobbying against environmental laws and regulations. Another public affairs person was touting her company's dedication to its communities, gifts to local schools and playgrounds, for example. But in the skyboxes were lobbyists from the same firm that had been demanding tax breaks from those same communities as a condition for keeping jobs there. And those tax breaks have meant less revenues for local schools and playgrounds. Other public affairs people told me how much their firms value their employees, giving them more flexible work schedules and extra days off. But the same firms have been lobbying against paid family leave. I'm not suggesting hypocrisy. I mean, it's entirely possible these companies have voluntarily taken on corporate social responsibilities and don't want government to force them to do any of it. Or maybe the left hand of corporate public affairs doesn't know what the right hand of government affairs is up to. But I can't help thinking that if these companies took social responsibility seriously, they'd put a brake on their lobbying and influence peddling. Maybe they'd even avoid spending so much money on political conventions.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts at marketplace.org. While you're there, download the Morning Report podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Glad you tuned in. Enjoy the day. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.